Summer in Sodom. Chapter 15. Ted looked up with concern as Jerry slid into the front seat of the T-Bird. Bright red stains oozed through the material of his jacket. As he shifted the car into drive, his face contorted in pain. Ted stared out into the fog, trying to pierce the white curtain with his own eyes, as if this would help Jerry. So many strange thoughts and emotions churned within him as he was totally confused. He sat silently, concentrating on the windshield and the rhythmic slap of the wipers. At last, Jerry drew up in front of him at the frame house where he was staying. He sank back in the seat for a moment, smiling with relief. Ted looked at him impassively. The horrible scene of the blood-splattered room refused to leave his mind. Jerry reached up to pat him on the shoulder, but stopped the gesture in midair as he noticed the thin line of blood trickling across the palm of his hand. Ted's face showed his concern. "We'd better do something about your arm."
"Was that really a dagger I saw before me?" Jerry joked. He opened the door of his car, favoring his injured arm. "Don't want to make a mess of the car," he explained. "Come on in. I may need some help ripping up an old bedsheet or something."
Ted had no intention of leaving Jerry at that moment. He willingly followed him up the walk and into the front hallway of the house. Jerry led the way up the stairs to his room. As soon as they were behind the closed door of his room, he began to ease out of the blood-soaked jacket. Ted helped him peel the sodden shirt from his back. Jerry grabbed a handful of tissues and swabbed off his arm. Together, they critically inspected the injury.
"I'm lucky," Jerry announced. "It's one hell of a gash, but I don't think it went through a major vein or artery."
Holding the arm out in front of him, he went to the bathroom down the hall and returned with adhesive tape and a roll of gauze.
"Proceed, doctor," he said to Ted.
Ted carefully wound the gauze over the wound and taped it down. Throughout the operation, he felt Jerry's eyes upon him, a strange quiescence. A peculiar, exciting electricity seemed to flow between them at each touch. Initially, intimacy blossomed quickly, like a perfumed tropical flower. Ted's blood began to throb under Jerry's steady, relentless gaze. He looked into those big blue eyes, only minutes before so steely cold, and saw admiration and warmth that drew him like a magnet. Jerry stood up. His good arm tightened about Ted's waist. The bulging muscles of their cleanly arched thighs touched and then pressed hard together. Ted breathed in, swept up by a strange, demanding force that roared through his entire body. He felt the immediate, painful response in his loins as he crushed hard against Jerry's answering tension. His arms moved downward automatically. He thrust himself hard against the exciting leanness of Jerry's hips, his body moving now of its own accord as Jerry's lips closed upon his.
"This had to happen," Jerry breathed. "Don't fight it, Ted."
His husky male voice spread fires of desire through Ted. His hands responded immediately. He drew Ted closer, breathing a shudder of passion into him. Ted's fingernails moved across Jerry's bare back, digging into the hardened muscles with a fierce intensity. His lips touched the smooth skin of Jerry's chest. Jerry's eyes closed. His body moved spasmodically wherever Ted's lips and intimate, searching fingers aroused sweet, sharp sensations. With a gasp, he arched toward Ted. His hand fumbled with Ted's belt. Somehow they were on the bed, their bodies grinding together, each hard iron body seeking the other, each taking ecstasy from the other, each giving excruciating pleasure. Jerry sat up momentarily. His blue eyes were bright with adoration as they swept the length of Ted's cleanly muscled body. "Now I'll show you how it was meant to be," he breathed. Ted's body turned to liquid fire at the promise. He raised one arm to Jerry's shoulder, drawing him near once more, giving himself completely. In moments, the world became a driving, rending furor, a spiraling, smoky ecstasy which seemed never to end until all the universe suddenly exploded with a moist warmth that made their bodies heavy and close and slumberous. Later that night, Jerry awoke. He glanced at Ted, noticing the quiet peace that pervaded his body as he slept. He remembered Ted's beautiful body only hours before, huge and striving and fierce. Now he lay on the sheet, limp, curved, and so vulnerable. Jerry resisted the impulse to put his arms around the beautiful boy, draw him close once more in the heady joy of passion. Quietly, he slipped from the bed, put on a robe, and lighted a cigarette. Soon he would have to wake Ted. There were important matters they must discuss before daybreak.
As if Ted had read Jerry's thoughts, he turned over in his sleep and his hand reached out. A frown creased his face as he found something missing on the bed. Then his eyes opened and he stared about in confusion. Jerry watched him for a moment before he spoke. "I'm right here," he said quietly. Ted sat up immediately, his face relaxed at the sound of Jerry's voice. "What time is it?" he asked, rubbing the sleep from his eyes. "About 4. It'll be daybreak in 3 hours. We've got to get a few things settled before then." Ted groaned. 4 in the morning. Let's go back to sleep." Jerry shook his head. "Close your eyes for a minute. I'm going to turn on the light. A cup of coffee will rejuvenate you." Ted slipped from the bed like a nude, white-bellied fish as the bulb exploded in front of his eyes. He slipped into his briefs. Jerry watched with frank admiration at the way the material clung to his virile frame. Then, as Ted sat drowsily at the edge of the rumpled bed, Jerry turned his attention on the hot plate. Minutes later, each sat holding a cup of steaming black instant coffee. Ted took a cautious sip of the scalding liquid and then asked, "What's up?" "You've got to get the hell out of town. And soon." Ted looked blank. "Why?" "Because we have no way of knowing who saw you come into the bar or leave it. I didn't tell you before, but I'm fairly sure Scars was killed when he fell on the knife. Ian will never look the same again, that's for sure. That pretty face will be marked for life." Ted winced at the thought of the ragged red line across Ian's face. "Maybe we should go to the police and tell them what happened." Jerry shook his head stubbornly. "If it ever comes to that, I'll take care of it." "I doubt that it will. The whole thing will look like a fight over the marijuana if we're lucky. Those rough trade hoods will be put away on a charge of possession, and I imagine that Ian will be in the hospital for a long time. As for Scars, well, the morning paper will tell that story." "But if I'm in danger, so are you," Ted protested. "That's right. But I have friends who can take care of me, friends who are used to this kind of thing." He looked at Ted soberly. "You have to understand that this is all a part of life when you embrace the gay way. It's not always so dramatic. But you can only go 2 ways, Ted. If you choose my life, you belong to a different society that has entirely different values for its own members, and you live your real life in that society. If you decide against it, it's best to get all the way out. You'll never be happy living on just the fringe, never really accepted by this society, afraid all the time of being found out by the other world. There's a lot of overlapping between the two, of course. There has to be. But you have to figure out which world is the real one for you." He looked at the floor. His voice became a deep, carefully controlled monotone. I won't hold you to what happened here tonight. I admit that I did everything I could to make it happen, things you weren't even aware of." He glanced quickly at Ted and then looked away again. Ted sat very still at the edge of the bed, allowing Jerry's words to sink in. He knew that Jerry wanted to hear him say. He also knew that his feelings for Jerry were too strong to allow him to say those words until he was sure beyond a shadow of a doubt. As the moment lengthened, he felt Jerry's eyes boring into him, felt Jerry's plea become a tangible thing upon the strained air. Then the moment passed. "Okay," Jerry said. "Tomorrow you go back to Buffalo. Do whatever you want to do about your house. Go back to your job. And you?" "I'll go on the way I always have. I made up my mind a long time ago. I won't do anything else to influence you. If I get you into trouble about this, I'll take care of myself. A few weeks ago, I wouldn't have cared very much. Now, well, I have something to hope for anyway. I'll drive you back to the Gables. There's a bus at 9:30, and you have to be on it." Eileen tapped on Ted's door several hours later. "We can borrow Ms. Simmons' car to get to the station," she called. Ted opened the door and let her in. "Is the paper here yet?" She shook her head. "We can get one in town. Do you really think that Scars is dead?" "I don't know. And keep your voice down. I don't want this to leak out anywhere." Already he regretted telling her as much as he had. But she had been waiting for him when he arrived home. She had stayed up all night, and the lines of weariness and anxiety showed plainly upon her sweet face. He had given her a rough outline of the night's adventures, although he had twisted the story slightly so that Jerry's name had been left out of it. "Thank Mr. Simmons for me," he said. He appreciated the loan of the car from the elderly boarder. The car was his prized possession. Suddenly, Eileen was close to him. He saw her eyes fill with tears. "When will I see you again?" she whispered. Ted drew her close. "I don't know," he said in her ear. "I don't much want to come back to Silver Beach." Her silken hair smelled sweet. Her breasts were full and ripe against his chest. Her lips were moist and promising. I'll come to you in Buffalo anytime you send for me. For any reason.
Her eyes closed. Her head tilted back. Ted pulled her to him. He pressed hard against the proffered lips, sensing her immediate response. Her body moved against him with the familiar, seductive gesture that set him on fire. Her hand gripped the rippling sinews of his back as her entire body became part of the kiss.
I've never wanted anyone as much as I want you, she breathed. I'll take you on any terms.
Her frank boldness startled him, yet he knew that she meant it. Her words and her body and her full amber eyes told a story of utter devotion and love. Every tense nerve end of his body longed to linger here, holding her in his arms, feeling the soft warmth of her womanhood against him, feeling the amazing power of her love wash over him. His lips searched for hers once more as he tasted the nectar of her love. Her tongue probed into his mouth, and he answered the quest as her hands slid down his sides, as her fingers marveled at the rugged manhood of him. But even as desire spiraled within him, Ted knew that he must be fair to her, even as he would be with Jerry. Gently, he pushed her from him. We'd better get into town, he said. The small bus station was virtually empty. Ted pulled its bags out of the car and set them down on the pavement. He glanced at his watch. He had 5 minutes before the bus was due from Erie, Pennsylvania, on its way back to Buffalo. Eileen followed him inside, where he purchased a ticket. They went outside once more and stood on the edge of the sidewalk. The fog was lifting, but the air was heavy and muggy. There was promise of a sticky, sunny summer day. For a few minutes, they stood beside Ted's suitcase and flight bag. Conversation was desultory. At length, Ted could stand the suspense no longer. Wait here, he said. I'm going across the street and pick up a paper. He started toward the coffee shop in the opposite corner before he stopped speaking. The morning paper had come in from Buffalo. He picked one up from the pile, dropped a dime on the counter, and hurried across the street once more. Together, they scanned the front page. A fire in Buffalo had crowded most of the news from the front page, but inside they found a headline. Park owner killed in dope brawl. They stared at each other somberly. Just then, the bus turned the corner and headed toward them, churning up a cloud of dust and spewing acrid diesel fumes into the clean morning air. Eileen's lips were suddenly hard on his, an exciting pledge and a ripe promise. His hand traced her forehead gently, pushing back her silken hair. I'll write as soon as things are settled, he promised. She merely nodded, and he knew that she couldn't trust herself to speak. He pulled her to him once more, briefly, then picked up his bags and climbed onto the waiting bus. The doors closed behind him, and the engine roared. As he sat down by the window, he saw her figure retreating from him. Ted stared out of the window as the bus roared down First Street. As they passed an old frame house, his eyes lifted to the windows on the top floor. He wondered if he only imagined the face in the window, the black curly hair, the deep blue eyes, and the strong, compelling male competence. He sighed and sank back into the plush seat. The bus turned the corner and headed toward the thruway.